I will go. Genesis 24, verses 1 through 4. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country, and unto my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Now here in this typological picture that we want to bring this evening, Abraham, whose name means the father of a multitude, is a type of God the Father, who has many sons through his only son. You know that it's only through the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ, that God himself has and is bringing many sons into glory. It all comes through Isaac, who is a type of Christ. It all comes through his son, Jesus Christ. So Abraham here is a type of God. The eldest servant is a type of the Spirit-filled ministers. And here we find that this eldest servant of his house, he's the eldest, you see. He's the eldest, so he's the choicest. And he is the servant. He's a servant. His will is swallowed up entirely in the will of his Abraham, of his master. He has no will of his own. And he rules over all in Abraham's house. That is, he has given him, Abraham has invested in him that power and authority to rule over all that he has. And this is what God has done to his choicest servants, that is the Spirit-filled, those that will have his own spirit in them. They rule over all that God has. That is, he has given him his book and his ministry and his own heart and his own love and power to manifest it, but he is to have no will of his own. His will is to be only God's will. He is to minister God's estate as God wants it ministered, and he is to have nothing to do with it other than just be a servant to dispense and take care of. He has authority, but only as a servant. He has authority, but not for himself, only for God. He said, Abraham took his chief servant and said, now put your hand under my thigh. This is a solemn oath. This was a solemn oath, a vow, that you are to go and get a bride for my son, Isaac, Abraham said. You are to journey out and find a bride. And we find that God's ministers make a compact with God. He makes a vow before him. God makes a contract with him. Your job is to go out and prepare and to speak and get a bride for my son, Jesus Christ. God himself, who is a spirit, it works through his ministers to get a bride. That's what he's doing here, is trying to get a bride for Jesus Christ. We're to be married with him. We call people to come in, become a part of that bride. And so we find in verse 3, he says, now, you will not take a wife for my son of the daughters of the Canaanites. Now, Canaanites were the merchants. He says, you are not to go out into this world system, and of this world system, don't get a bride of this world system. I don't want my son to have a bride from a world system. He didn't want that kind of a bride. Don't get it from Babylon. He's not going to marry the Babylonian church. He's not going to marry this world system out here. Don't go to the Canaanites. Now, he said also, you're to go to my people. My people. The bride will come from my own people, the sons of God. Now, God is not going to manifest himself in flesh today and come out here and try to get a bride. We don't see Jesus walking around trying to get a bride. But we find that his ministers, by the Spirit of the Lord, are giving forth God's word just as a faithful servant, that a bride might be willing to say, I will go, and become his bride. God will not send his son downhill to find a bride. God sends his chosen servants to get the bride of Christ. Now, God is not looking for a bride. Abraham was not looking for a bride for Ishmael. He was looking for a bride for Isaac. Now, he had Ishmael first. But Ishmael, according to Galatians chapter 3 and 4, was after the flesh. Ishmael was the works done to try to get a son, you see, for Abraham, for God. And he represents the saints in the old covenant. It's works. It's the old Adam. It's the natural man. It's the works of the flesh to try to get a son of God. But Isaac is after the spirit. And he is that last Adam, not the old Adam, but the new Adam, the last Adam. And he is the first of the new covenant saints. By the Spirit, he is the first perfect man, and many will follow him, become sons of God. He will have many sons of glory. One only begotten son, but many others to follow. Hagar represents the Old Testament act of obtaining a son for Abraham, works. And Sarah, according to Galatians, represents the New Testament act to obtain a son for Abraham by love and by promise. It's a promise, and it's done by love. And we find in verse 4, he says, "But thou shalt go into my country, to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac." Isaac is a type of Christ. Now, they were usually married by the time they were 30. But now we find that Jesus delayed. He didn't get a bride. He delayed. He will have a bride, but he delayed getting a bride until after he had already left the country that his bride was in. He's no longer in the country his bride is in. He's in a different country, just like Isaac was, in a different country. And now they have to go back to that country where she was, send a servant back to get a bride to bring it to him, because he's not going to go back to that land and get it. Now, Isaac was to inherit everything from Abraham. He was the only son. The inheritance was his. Abraham, you see, the Ishmael was cast out with the bondwoman. Cast her out. If you have not the son, you have not the father, and you shall die in your sin. Cast out that bondwoman, the flesh. The old covenant, the old law it will only condemn you, will not justify. And so he was to be the sole inheritor. Now, Abraham was rich, and all things were to belong to Isaac. Now, when Isaac got a bride, then all things would belong to Isaac and his bride. And so all things are to belong to Jesus Christ and his bride. And the Bible says that the Father giveth the kingdom unto his Son. And it says we shall be heirs and equal heirs with Jesus Christ. We shall rule and reign with him. Verse 5, "And the servant said unto him, Well, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me into this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, Beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me that and that sware unto me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And so the angel of the Lord goes before us. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. Now your job is not to go out and get a bride, servant. Your job is to go out and ask if she's willing to be a bride. And if she's not, you have delivered yourself. You are not guilty. I will not hold you responsible to get a bride. I only hold you responsible to go out and try to find a bride and ask her if she's willing. And if she won't, don't force her. This Christianity cannot be forced by the sword like Muhammad tried to do with the Muslim faith, and like the Roman Catholics tried to do all during the Reformation period. They tried by the sword, and the Jesuit priests and through the Inquisition, they tried by the sword to bring everybody into the fold of the Roman Church. But Jesus never tried to force anybody. So if they don't listen to you, shake off the dust of the city and go on your way. You have to want to come to God. You have to want him as your bridegroom. If you don't want him as your bridegroom, then, of course, he doesn't want you as his bride. You wouldn't want to marry a woman who doesn't want you, would you? Doesn't look up to you. My eyes just spotted a young man in the service that Makes my heart glad. Looks real good. Praise the Lord. Now, she must accept by faith. And then we find in verse 10, he says, "And thy servants took 10 camels of the camels of his master, and he departed. For all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor." Now, I want you to notice that all the goods of him is in our hands. This is a marvelous thing. It's so amazing that God has entrusted the work of salvation to his own people, to his ministers, to save them by the foolishness, and the Greek means the simplicity, of preaching. He has entrusted us to be workers together with God, to be his hands and his feet. All of his power is within our hands. We may not grasp it all, but it's all within our hands. He's given it to us. He went to Mesopotamia. Now, Mesopotamia was Babylon. He is going to take a bride from out of Babylon. Now, she's not going to be a Babylonish woman, however. She's of this world, but not in this world, you see. She is not a Babylonish woman. She's an Israelite. She just happens to be sojourning as a pilgrim there in Babylon. And he wants to get her out of Babylon and take her into his land where he is. Let me read in verse 11, "And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water." Now here was at the time of the evening. The day was far spent, and the night cometh when no man can work. And in the time when it began to draw for the evening is when the women, and the women are a type of the church, they go out in the evening to draw water. Jesus said, "He that thirsts, let him come unto me and drink, and out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." And that well represents Christ. And they went to draw water from the wells of salvation. In the evening time, they went to get water, for they were thirsty. And he had promised water for the thirsty soul. And so he made his camels to kneel down. He got off. And he said, "O Lord God of my master Abraham," the servant is saying, praying, "send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham." Here's a chance to witness. "Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, 'Let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink,' and she say, 'Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also,' let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master." I want you to know that his servant went out, to get a bride from a woman who went out to get water, for she wanted water. He wants to get a bride from a woman who's going out seeking water. He didn't go to one of the harlot houses of the city. He didn't go out to the parks for the playing, dancing, making daisy chains. He went to a well where women went to get water to find a bride. That's the kind of bride he was. And here we find that it came to pass before he had done speaking, the Lord said, "Before you speak, I will answer," that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. Now this one was a fair virgin, like Solomon mentions in the Song of Solomon. She was beautiful to look upon in the Lord, in his sight. And she had not defiled herself with other lovers, but she was kept herself for him. And she filled her pitcher. That means brimful. She filled her vessel full of this living water, the Holy Spirit. And then we find that as the servant ran to meet her and said, "Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher." And she said, "Drink, my lord." That's a small L, meaning just a term of respect. and recognizing leadership, but not deity. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. Now here she ministered unto God's servant, and she became a servant to him. And so the bride of Christ is to minister unto God's servants that he sends. They are to minister unto his necessity, unto his needs. And Jesus said, when you go out, don't take a purse, don't take a script, don't take an extra shoes. Let them provide it for you. Don't pay your own way. When you go into a house, if they are worthy of you, go into the house. But if they don't want you, they're not worthy of you. Go into a house where they're worthy of you. Let them supply your needs. Let them take care of you. A workman is worthy of his hire. Muzzle not the oxen that treadeth out the grain. And so she ministered unto him. And then, when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also. She was willing to go the extra mile. He only asked for a drink of water for himself, but she was willing to do extra. And this is what he had asked for, of course. God is looking for people willing to do extra, not just the minimum. Until they have done drinking, and she hastened and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again to the well to draw water and draw for all his camels. Notice, she ran to the water. She was eager to do it. She was kind. She was hospitable. She was eager to put herself to the work. She was decorous. She didn't talk until she was spoken to. She was the kind of a bride that Isaac would want. And the man wondered at her, held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of a half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold. Now, here the servant took gift that was from Abraham. And the servant gave the gift to the woman. And so God imparts his gifts through the laying on of hands. And they don't belong to the servant. They belong to Abraham. He didn't give them of his own power. He has no power to give them. He just threw it, passing them on by his hands. Now, they were gold, and gold, typologically, represents deity. He is giving of his very self. First of all, he gave earrings. That's to put on the ear. Deity to your ears that you might hear. And deity to your hands that you might minister unto his necessities. The anointing of the Lord is upon you. And said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? See, he's come to let them take him in, provide for him. And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. She said moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. Now, there she went and she witnessed. She witnessed to her mother and the sisters in her mother's tent. She witnessed to her sisters, to her mother church, where she came from, that this one has given me gifts of the Holy Spirit, of him very self. And now I hear things, I've heard things, and now I have to minister. I have these gifts that come from God himself. And she's witnessing of the grace of God that came through his servant to her. And through the word, we have that which, God's word, we have that which we can heal. And he who has ears to hear, let him hear, the scripture says. And we minister according as we heal, not only hearers only, but doers, you see. Hearers and doers of the word. And then in verse 49, we'll skip down a ways in the brevity of time. And now if ye will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. He's asking for a decision. See, now the minister is asking for a decision. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. See, they had to acknowledge when they saw these gifts from God that God was in it. They had to acknowledge that this person was a servant of God, and that these were gifts of God, and that the servant's errand was of God. And so they said, all right. Verse 55. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10, and after that she shall go. Now 10, typologically, is the number of the world. You shall have tribulation 10 days, told the church of Smyrna. And so the mother said, and the sisters and brothers said, well, let us stay with her a while. Let her not go right now. Let her stay here with us, because we're going to be staying. Let her stay with us, not go out ahead of us. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. In other words, no, let's get her out of here as fast as possible. Don't let her wait for the tribulation. Let's get her out of here now. The faster we can get her out and be separate, the better. Let's don't see how long you can stay in Babylon a while. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. She will have to be a free moral agent. She will have to make the decision. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. I will go. Now that took a willingness and it took a faith. It took a decision. She had a decision that she would take Isaac's name. Ye have not denied my name, the Lord said to the church of Philadelphia. And she was not going to deny Isaac's name. She was willing to take his name. My people shall know my name. She said, I'm willing to become Isaac's. I am no longer going to be my own, but now I am willing to be his. I am willing to be possessed by him, for him. I am willing to give myself up, my will up. I have plans for my life all figured out, but now I will surrender my plans for his plans. I will now be with him, and whatever he wants me to be, I will be. I will just be to love him and be loved of him and to serve him and to be his for his joy. Now, I have never seen him with my eyes, but I've heard of him with the hearing of my ears. I know who his father is. He's rich and he owns all these things, and he's a goodly person. He's the father of a multitude of nations, and I'm of his brethren. And because I have confidence in his father and confidence in him as that perfect son, without even seeing him, by faith I'm willing to go and be joined to him. I'm willing to give my life plans up. My future is now going to be one with him. And I'm going to rule and reign with him as he inherits all things from his father. I will share my thoughts with him. I will share my life with him. I am willing to go by faith into the unknown future. I will go. Verse 63. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventime. Now here it is, eventime. It's near the end of the age. And Isaac goes out into the field. He goes out into the field. He doesn't go all the way to her, but he does go out. You know, he's going to catch us up and meet us in the air. So he goes out from his home, and he goes a ways towards her, but not all the way to her house. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the evening time. He lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off of the camel. Now here, she broke the last ties with the old world, that camel. When she got off of that camel, and she stood then on his ground. And joy flooded her soul as she saw him, who she had been willing and by faith had looked forward to and was journeying toward him all this time. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walks in the field to meet us? And when it be she beholding afar off, and the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil, and she covered herself. Now she was modest. She did not deign to rush into his presence as his equal. She didn't bolt in and say, hi, kiddo, how's tricks? See? She didn't belong to the women's liberation movement. She was victorious. She recognized that he was the king, he was the son of the great patriarch. She recognized that he was from a family, of a royal family, and a family far beyond her position. And she was only a woman. And he was a man. He was the bridegroom. And she veiled herself. She did not trust in her own beauty to captivate him. She was modest. She went in realizing that she was nothing. And she went in decorously. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and he took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her. He loved her. She became his wife, and he loved her. He's going to love us. Now, he, with a great love. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Jesus will be comforted after his mother's death. Came from the church, you see. Not in Revelation, but he came, you see. He was likened to his brethren, and he himself was the Son of Man, although he was also the Son of God. And here we find the end of the church. The church had come to the end, the visible church. And although the visible church had come to the end, and he sorrowed because the church died, and the church is dying, it's apostasy, he saw him because the church died, yet he has the offspring of the church. He has that which comes full from her, came out of her womb, the invisible church. And she has become his beloved bride. Now the question that the Spirit of the Lord has for us this evening is, are we willing to go? Are you preparing to go? Well, how do you do that? Well, it's evening time. The day is far spent. The night cometh when no man can work. Are you filling your pitcher full? Are you ministering to the needs? Do you want to delay 10 days? Or are you willing to go? Shall we say more than willing? For the joy that is set before us, to be united to him, the greater. We come into his presence with modesty, humility, knowing that we are nothing, not trying to impress him with our beauty. He sees fairness in us. We don't understand it, but we're glad that he does. And we're saying, I'm willing to give up my life plans for you. But listen, if you've got plans for your life, and you're not willing to give up your plans for your life and just have his plans for your life, you're not preparing or ready to go. If you're not willing to surrender your heart and your life so that you become just for him, to please him, then you're not really ready yet, because he doesn't want a bride who is not willing to yield herself wholly unto him. But oh, thank God for this marvelous truth. Thank God he's preparing us and getting us ready for that wonderful, marvelous day, that higher calling that's in Christ Jesus. And the Greek, when it says higher calling, a lot of times calls the translates the upward calling. It means that calling from on high. He calls us from on high. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's stand.